Good to be here. I rode a little horse in this morning, and he seems to be getting bigger, so you'll have to forgive me a little bit. Trying to lose my voice here, but I'll just bear with me. We'll try to get through this together. I know we can. Good morning. Glad you're here. All righty. Thank you, sir. Here we go. All right, then. Excuse me. Here we go. I'll be right with you. Today, I just wanted to speak to you and challenge each one of us, all of us here today, to reflect the sun this year. Make 2018 the year that we reflect the sun better than we ever have in our lives. And that's going to be the challenge in what I speak to today. I had 3 hours prepared, but since my voice is a little on the edge here, I'm going to cut it back just a little bit. So, we live our lives here in this community, in this world, I think we got to ask the question, how does the world see us? And so, and we're going to talk to that. But first, as we get into that, you know, we identify ourselves with so many things, and whether it be sports, country, state, school, whatever, we tend to gravitate towards things that we're identified with. And I just want your help right now, especially since I'm losing my voice a little bit, to help me find these things, to identify the following things, if you will, please. National champion, okay. Evil. Okay. That is the logo, one of the logos for the University of Alabama, okay, which they played a very good game Monday night, at least in the second half, and congratulations, Gordon, on another national championship there. Okay? Big Orange, University of Tennessee. Wait till next year, or maybe the next, or the next. I put this in there for my friend. The University of Arkansas, the Razorbacks, yes. And maybe for someone in here that likes this particular sport, can you tell me what this is? Predators, yeah, Nashville Predators, who had a very good season last year. Hope they have an even better one this year. Okay, what about this one? The Titans, yeah. Kind of fell short last night, but still had a better season than what people had hoped for, even probably. And so that's some sports teams. Okay, now we're going to change gears just a little bit. And in honor of the upcoming Winter Olympics, can you help me name some of these countries? And we'll see how you are. If you're, the Big Bang Theory with Sheldon? He likes flags. So here we go. Help me name some of these countries. Canada, yes. Okay, oh, Canada. Russia, yes, that's the Russian flag. Germany, wow. Very good. China, yeah. Great Britain, okay. And, oh, good, I'm glad y'all got that one. The United States of America. Now, we're going to take a little bit, do the same thing, just a little bit more. Tell me if you can identify these characters. If you're into Disney at all, especially some of your older folks, you'll probably have no problems. But it's interesting as we take a look at these. Help me identify these particular characters. Bashful, yeah. Okay. Doc, very good. Okay. Dopey. This is the one I identify with real well. Dopey, yeah. Grumpy. I identify with this one early in the morning. What about this one? Happy. Yeah, happy. Okay, how about this? Sneezy. Yeah. And here's the one I hope that I don't encourage anybody in the next few minutes. Sleepy. Yeah. You know, it's really interesting when you look at that. Disney did a really good job of exhibiting traits through how something looks with these characters. And you can look at him and you can see, I mean, right there he's yawning, but, you know, he looks sleepy and dopey, he looks dopey. And you know, you can see what these characters are supposed to represent. And it's very clear and very obvious. In our lives, in our spiritual lives, are we that obvious? Let's take a look at what we should be looking like. Can we be identified by how we look? In Galatians, the fifth chapter, it says, "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law." And as you look at this list, you know, as we live our lives in this community, these are the things that hopefully our community is seeing from us as we live our lives here. They see each one of these traits exhibited in all of us. First on the list is love, and I think it's first for a reason. It is the glue, if you will, that binds all the other fruits together, I think. And it is mentioned there first for a very good reason. As I looked up the definition of love, and I love this definition: "The ultimate expression of God's loyalty, purity, and mercy extended towards his people to be reflected in human relationships." You know, and as you think about what are some good examples of love, certainly you can see it in marriages and relationships. You can see it in parent-children relationships, even grandparent-grandchildren relationships. It's real easy to see that bond that flows between people because they care about one another and they want to be there for one another, be strong for each other, to be someone to lean upon and to be there for. It is a trait that we see all around us, and it's a trait that we as Christians need to exhibit, not just with our families and friends, but to all this world, because that's what Jesus did. He did that and showed us very well how to love others. The next one there is joy. The definition that I saw was the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune. You know, and when you think back to moments in your life where joy, you feel joy, I think of things like my wedding day, the birth of my children. These times that just bring about just this overwhelming sense of goodness and things are right and things are going the way that you would love for them to. And you know, it's almost inexpressible. And that's something that we as Christians should be showing to this world. We have a loving God who is giving us a Savior that allows us to be with him forever and ever. And there could be nothing greater than that. There's great joy in that. And that's a good thing. The next one, peace. The definition I saw was a state of tranquility or quiet, harmony in personal relations, especially with God. I don't know about you, but for me, times when I can find peace for myself, it seems like if I'm out in the woods taking a hike, out on the lake, anytime I'm communing with nature, I seem to have this overwhelming sense of peace. Those of you who know me, I like to look at stars and gaze at stars at the night. And I know that when I'm looking up and got my binoculars out, zooming in on a planet or a star or a star cluster, I'm just overcome by this overwhelming sense that there is someone greater looking out over all of this and taking care of me and this whole world, this whole universe. And I find peace in that. And it's just it's just a good, quiet, tranquil feeling. It's wonderful. And so that's where I see peace and feel peace a lot. Patience. The definition I found was bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. And I like this one: steadfast despite opposition. Again, we can find that this morning with parents and children, you know. In my own case, when I was learning to drive a straight shift, we found out in my family that my mother had great patience and my father did not. And so she taught me how to drive a straight shift. Dad would have, but I drove him crazy when I was trying to drive. But anyway, patience. The next one on the list, kindness. The definition that I saw was the quality or state of being affectionate, loving, of a sympathetic or helping nature. And again, when I think of an example of this, I think of my mother. For those of you who knew Veda, who passed away almost 14 years ago, she was a cafeteria worker and over at Westwood Junior High, now middle school. And Mom grew up, there's just no other way to put it, dirt poor. Her family didn't have two nickels rubbed together when she was growing up. And I can remember her telling me, as she was a manager there at the school cafeteria, that she would buy ice cream for kids that she knew. She knew what everybody's circumstances was, and she would buy ice cream for kids that couldn't afford it, because she remembered growing up and not having anything, and she wanted to extend that kindness and let somebody know that somebody loved them and somebody cared about them. And so just an example I'll always carry with me about my mother and her fruit of the Spirit with kindness. Goodness, next on the list. The beneficial quality of something. Kindness is the definitions that I saw. When I was thinking of an example of this, I really could come up with a really, really good one. But what I could come up with, have you ever been around somebody who is just really, really positive all the time? I mean, just to the nth degree positive. Okay, you're like this. You're on the Titanic. You're on the stern of the ship. The boat is going under. And you're standing next to somebody. They're saying, I've always wanted to swim with icebergs. That's goodness. Just this overflowing, bubbly, you can't get me down kind of attitude. And you just feel good when you're around people like that, because they lift you up. And I think as we're exhibiting this fruit of goodness, we should be lifting people up. And that's what it'll do for them. Next on the list is faithfulness. The definition I found was the quality of steadfast loyalty or firm adherences to promises. Again, good examples of this are marriages and relationships that we have where we have committed to someone, our life, and our devotion to them to help get through a journey or struggle together. And, you know, God is faithful to us, and He has definitely, He is always there for us in whatever struggle, good times, bad times, He is always there, and we should exhibit that same type of faithfulness. The next one, gentleness. The definition I saw said mildness of manner or disposition. And, all I could think of was like my grandmother. You think of someone who's just sweet to the point of almost unbelievable. And my grandmother comes to mind. She was just super sweet and just a gentle nature and a gentle soul, and always wanted to make you feel good and make you feel loved. And was a good example to me. And I think that as we see relationships like that, we all know people that just ooze this love and this outpouring of giving and wanting to do for others. And just this gentle spirit. It's just another fruit we need to be exhibiting. Self-control is the next one. The definition I saw was restraint exercised over one's own impulses and emotions or desires. And as I was looking at this one for an example, the thing that came to my mind first of all was the shooting 2 or 3 years ago in South Carolina, where the young white man went into the African American church and sit down for an hour long Bible study and sat there the whole time, and then at the end of it got up and killed 9 people. And I remember when that man was captured and brought before the judge, there were some family members who showed up, and I thought this just exhibited a real fruit of self-control. They got up there and they forgave this guy for what they had done. And there was somebody who had every right to be mad and aggravated at this at this individual for taking something dear and special to him, and yet they were out there exhibiting self-control and telling them that they forgave them. And that, to me, was a very, very powerful, example of exhibiting self-control. Are these fruits evident in our life? I hope that they are. And I know here at this congregation, so many of you exhibit so many of these fruits. And that's, I'm just very humbled to be here, be a part of this family, because so much of the fruit is exhibited here. But we can always do better, and we can always grow. And that's my challenge today. So how can we do that? Well, for our personal growth, what can we do? Whoops, went a little double click there. The Bible, we can read and study from God's Word. You know, the Bible, in my opinion, is kind of like a roadmap. And when we read it, it tells us how to get to God. It's a way to understand where we're supposed to be going and how to get there. And so I think it's vitally important for us to read and study from His Word. That's one of the ways we can learn about Him more. The second one on the list that I already clicked to was prayer. And, you know, I think that it's very important that we pray in our lives individually and make that a practice that we just do constantly. And, you know, when I think about prayer, you know, when you think about your friends, how do you become better friends with those that you're acquainted with? Well, by talking and getting to know them. And that's the same way with God. How can we get to know Him better if we don't talk to Him? And I think it's incumbent upon us to reach out and to look to our Lord and Savior and talk to Him. And then last but not least is serve. I think service is something that actions, you know, if you can't get up like I can't get up and preach, but if you can't get up and talk to people about things, you can do things for people that exhibits the fruit of the Spirit. And I think that's what we're challenged to do. Each one of us have talents. Everyone in here has a talent and a gift. And we can utilize those talents and gifts to serve others. And we can do that, each and every one of us. Jesus served. He fed people. He healed people. He taught people. He loved people. And I think the examples that He gives us, we may not be able to do all of them, but we can certainly love people and be inclusive everywhere. And I think that that's what He would want. Well, that's a personal growth issue. What about as we look to our family and church family growth? What can we do? Read and study our Bible. Again, it's that roadmap to God. It's so vital for us to look at God's Word. And I have to tell you, when we get together as a group and we have Bible studies and discussions, go ahead and speak your mind. Tell what you think about passages and stuff, because we learn from one another. Nobody in this building knows everything about God and knows everything about the Bible. I can guarantee you of that. And so how do we learn? We encourage one another, and we get together and we study and talk about how we can do better and how we can be disciples of Jesus Christ. What else can we do? Oh, look, prayer. Again, prayer time in a public manner where we get together and we pray about members in our congregation or folks in the community that we know are struggling or different issues or whatever. Prayer is just something that's vital in our life. We know that Jesus prayed and prayed often. Why shouldn't we? So, prayer. And then what else? Well, look there. Serve again. And you know, we should all be doers. We should get up and take action. And there's opportunities here to serve in many ways. Currently, right now, we got Upward going on. And it's a wonderful program. And you can pop popcorn. You can coach a team. You can ref. You can serve in the concession stand. You can help sweep the floor after the games are over. There's ways to serve in that. There's other things as well. We've got food groups where we have food taken to people that's having a hard time and needing help. We've got One Day that we support, Good Samaritan that we support, Wednesday night meals. I'm sure any and all help would be welcome there. Teaching classes, helping with the buildings and grounds. That's ways we can serve there. And kids and all of us, we can serve at home too. Help clean, help do whatever. We can all do a better job wherever we're at. We can serve. How can we grow and connect in our community? Well, I don't know. What can we do? The Bible. We can share the good news with this world because that's part of our commission, to tell this world about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who came here and died for us so that we could live forever with our Lord, our God. And, you know, I think oftentimes us living down here in the South, we just assume everybody knows who Jesus is and what the Bible's about. It's not true. There is a lost world out there that has no clue. And it's up to us to be that beacon, if you will, and let them know about our Lord and Savior. And that's through sharing what's in the Bible. What else can we do? We can pray for folks. We can pray for others. We can lift others up and let them know that we're lifting them up and do that continually. Anything else? We can serve. We can serve. And there's just so many ways we can serve this world. You know, and it might just be smiling at somebody and saying good morning. But we can be that someone to somebody who's maybe having a bad day. Can reach out and just let them know that they're loved, that somebody cares. And there's so many ways. You can do it at work. You can do it at Walmart. You can do it anywhere to let people know that somebody cares and loves them. You know, I've gone through these three different scenarios, personal growth and family growth and then the community growth. I guess you noticed. This is the gospel according to Joel. I think God's plan is really, really simple. I think we need to learn about him. I think we need to talk to him. I think we need to believe him and share him with others. And that's taking the Bible, that's praying, that's serving. And I think those are the things that we're called to do. There's nothing really, really hard, and I would encourage you to do that. And as far as the Bible reading goes, you know, this is the new year. It's a good time to start a Bible reading program. If you're intimidated by reading the whole Bible, pick a book, pick a chapter, pick a verse, and read God's Word, because he left it for us to read. If it sits on the counter and doesn't get opened, it's never going to do you any good. So I would encourage you and challenge you to do that, and to pray, and to serve. You know, I've spoke about this before. As you look at this picture, a symbol of love. It's always amazing to me that our God, here's how great our God is, okay? And how powerful he is. And how wonderful he is. As we look at this picture, I tried to find a picture that had a silhouette of Jesus on it. Because often all we ever see is just the cross. But there was much more on that cross than just a cross. There was a man nailed to that cross. And as we look at this picture, what you see here is an executioner's device of torture and death. Okay? If you live back 2,000 years ago, if you saw a cross, you didn't think anything good about it. And today, this is probably the greatest symbol of love that there is. So if our God can take the most evil device of torture and death and turn it into a symbol of love, what do you think he can do for us? He can do so much more. And he will if we simply let him. I'm going to read a verse here from 1 John, speaking to this love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, But if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And that's what we should be all about, in my opinion, is loving the way God's loved us. It's really, really simple. And to extend that love to a dying world. And so this year, as we look for 2018, may we reflect our Lord and Savior in everything we do. And knowing that God can take us and mold us into what he needs in this community to be. I'm going to close here with a verse from a couple of verses from 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, here at Forest Mill, our goal here is to love God and show the world that God loves them too. And as a family, as a congregation, I know we, the elders, really would like to hear feedback. If there's things that you would like to see us try to get, or resources that you might need, or whatever, please let us know, and we'll try to do that, because what we want to do is help all of us as we take these steps towards the kingdom of God, that we will all get there together and we'll all see Jesus face to face. And we pray that this year of 2018, may we reflect the love, the grace, and the glory of our Savior to this world right here in Manchester. This morning, if you have a need for prayer, if you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ and would like to do so, whatever your need may be, would you please come while we stand and sing?